Well, this morning we are going to be moving on from Abraham's life. We're skipping chapter 25 in Genesis, which is about his death. And I just didn't really feel like the Lord was leading me to talk about anything there. Hope that you'll read it. Keep reading along with us. But we are Abraham is now out of the picture, and we're going to be in chapter 26 talking about Isaac's life. There is an outline on the back of your bulletin, a brief outline. And the title is A Father and His Sons, Thoughts from the Life of Isaac. You've probably heard the expression that the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. And of course, the idea being that we are like our parents in so many ways. We're not really just talking about fathers and sons, but mothers and daughters. And also, we're going to be talking about just bringing in that whole picture of spiritual children and how we hope to, God wants us to, bless our spiritual children and as spiritual children that he wants us to learn from our parents. So anyhow, I have a video for us to check out to begin with. This just was really fun for me. I don't know the people in the video, but from the title of the video, there's a son. His dad is an arborist. And so the son decides to try his hand at cutting down a tree. Well, one of the reasons I like that video so much is because her laugh is just so contagious to me. It just cracks me up. But also, I've cut down a lot of trees in my life. You know, back in the woods behind our house, you know, I'm kind of a hobby of mine is clearing out the woods back there. And so I think about my boys, you know, and I just wonder if the trees in their life are falling the way they want them to fall. And I think about being a pastor, you know, and I wonder and pray for, and my hope and my dream is that the trees in your life are falling the way that you want them to fall. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at Abraham and Isaac. And you may have mixed emotions about this topic. You know, I know some people who would say, I want to be exactly like my dad, or I want to be exactly like my mom. I know some other people who would say, I don't even want to be near my dad. I don't want to be anything like him. And there's, of course, a range all the way in between. So we have all these mixed emotions, all these mixed feelings, and we see some of both in the life, in this relationship between Abraham and Isaac, some really good influences and some really bad influences. And so we're going to be talking about some of that dynamic as we go. But let's just pray and ask the Lord to lead our time. Well, Father in heaven, we just come before you. We bow our hearts before you, Lord, this morning. And we're just so thankful that you are our heavenly Father, Lord, and that you're perfect in every way. That you love us, Lord, that you have got our back, that you sent your Son, that you are even now working in our lives tirelessly, patiently. Your timing is perfect, and although we don't always see and understand what you're doing, we thank you. Lord, I just pray as we're together for this time that you would open up your word to us, just speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit as we always, this is always our request, Lord. We want to hear from you and learn from you. And I pray that that would take place this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. All right, so the first topic idea there on your outline is that God had a covenant with Abraham and wanted to continue it with his son Isaac. All right, so let's read about that in Genesis 26. It says, now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands. And I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." All right, so really interesting. God's talking to Isaac now, and he's talking a lot about Isaac's dad. And so here in this passage, we see Isaac reaping the benefits of having a godly dad. Right? You notice those last verses. "I'm going to do all this because Abraham obeyed me, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." You're going to reap all these benefits, Isaac, because of what your dad did. Right? And we're in that same place in many ways. But one of the main thoughts I'd like us to think about from this is that God wants us to have an influence like this on our children, and not just our biological children, but also our spiritual children. If you would please turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, briefly, chapter 2. We're going to look at a couple of other passages this morning to kind of highlight some of these points, just to make it clear that we're not just talking about Abraham and Isaac, but we're talking about us as the church. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, this is a great place to look at this concept, because here Paul is writing to his son. Look at that, verse 1, "You therefore, my son." Isn't that interesting? Paul's never married. He did not have any biological children. But he makes no apologies for calling Timothy his son. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So just like a dad, he's calling on his son, his child in the faith, to be strong. And so I just think that God wants us to be spiritual mothers and fathers, to reach out to other people, help them find the Lord, and then become a positive influence in their life. And that just becomes so clear in these verses. Look at verse 2 with me. He says, "Timothy, the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Pretty cool verse. Someone was pointing out to me a few years back that there are actually four generations in that verse. Isn't that cool? Four generations. We have Paul, who went and worked with Timothy and won Timothy to the Lord and discipled him and loved him and encouraged him and taught him, worked together with him. They were partners. He's encouraging Timothy to go and find some other faithful men, generation number 3, who will be able to teach others also, generation number 4. And so we see God's plan of action here. You know, when Jesus was here on the earth, what was the main thing he did other than going to the cross of Calvary and dying for our sins? He chose 12 men. And he invested his life in these 12 men for 3 solid years. They were with him everywhere he went, almost constantly with him. And then when he left the scene, he said, "All right, guys, you're it. You're my witnesses." Jesus did this exact same thing. And this is what Paul is challenging his son Timothy to do. "The things you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses." So here we are in a group. And by God's grace, you know, we're looking at his word together. So now you guys get to all go. I get to go. And the things that we learn here together, we get to go and share with others. We have spiritual children that we are influencing. He continues with this discussion in verse 3. He says, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." All right, so we're not going to continue with this passage, but Paul's just trying to get his son in the faith, Timothy, to get the picture. Okay, we're on a mission here. Friend, we're on a mission here. And before, you know, I want us to go look at another passage, but before we leave, the relationship between these two people was incredible. If you go back to the first chapter of 2 Timothy and read that, you'll notice that Timothy was crying when they were last separated. Paul said, "I remember your tears." See, they worked together all the time. They were like this. And Timothy did consider him his spiritual father, and he had a lot of impact on his life. Turn with me to one other passage, if you would. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is such an interesting passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 1 with me just to get the context. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some letters of commendation to you or from you? What's Paul talking about here? What had been going on was Paul had planted this church. He'd started this church. And then he had had to move on and he was working with some other churches. Well, while he was gone, these false teachers came in and they were trying to take over and they were saying bad things about Paul. And so he's writing this letter to them to try to get them over that, get them past that. And he says, listen, do we have to get these letters, you know, do we have to commend ourselves? Do we have to prove who we are? You know, that we are who we say we were and those kind of things. His answer to his own question is fascinating to me. Look at what he writes in verse 2. He says, "You are our letter." Excuse me. "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Paul had been writing on men's hearts. You know, you often hear the question, well, should I write a book? Or should I, you know, what should I do? Well, I think writing a book is good. But boy, if you can write a life, how much better? You can write on a human heart, by God's grace, have influence on another human being. That's incredible. And Paul says, "You're our letter. We did everything we know to do. You're now the letter." You think back, Corinthians, what was our influence in your life? And this is the kind of influence that God wants us, I believe, to have on the lives of others. And so as we go back to Genesis 26, sorry for all this flipping around. You might want to stick a little piece of paper in there. But in Genesis 26, we see that Isaac is following in the footsteps of his dad in many ways. And you see it in verse 6. It says, "So Isaac lived in Gerar." He stayed there. He did what God asked him. Abraham had moved to that land. He had been a sojourner there, a camper there, basically, for the last 30 or 40 years. And God asked Isaac to do the same, and he does. And not just in that verse, but later in the chapter, you see it comes up again. All right, so the next thing I'd like us to talk about that I believe is important to see is that God wants to break what I'm calling broken legacies in our life. In other words, sometimes parents have a negative influence on us. And we see that here in the life of Isaac as well. Look at verse 7 with me. It says, "When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, 'She's my sister.' For he was afraid to say, 'My wife,' thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. It came about when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and saw, And behold, Isaac was caressing his wife Rebekah. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, certainly she is your wife. How then did you say she is my sister? And Isaac said to him, Because I said I might die on account of her. Abimelech said, What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. All right. Well, how would you feel about that, ladies? If you went into a dangerous spot and your husband said, Oh, she's my sister. You know, Isaac got off pretty easy with this one. Abraham did this twice. You would think he learned from the first time. Because the first time it happened, I'm getting forgotten who that one was. Anyhow, that's not a big deal. The first time it happened, the ruler of the place took his wife into his own house. Talk about scary. Can you imagine being Sarah in that situation? You're married to Abraham, and the ruler of the whole, you know, Abraham said, Well, she's my sister. And then the ruler takes you into like his harem, so to speak. I mean, he didn't end up doing anything inappropriate with her. God said he prevented him from doing that. But wow, terrifying. And so here Isaac, the son of his father Abraham, has the same issue. He's got this fear of man or this fear of power somehow so that he doesn't stand up for his wife. And so sometimes we have that from our parents, right? We have that from the people around us, the culture around us. Some people don't want to be like dad because of things like this. And if you would go back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I just want us to, we're jumping right in after we were in chapter 2, but we're going to jump over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Now, when I read that passage, it's not an easy passage to read. It, for several reasons. One is, as I look at our country, this is what I see. It's what I see. Unfortunately, sometimes even as I look at my own life, I see some of these things. Right? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of self, lovers of money. Disobedient to parents. Ungrateful. Unloving. Malicious gossips. I mean, it's easy to read the difficult passages in the Bible and go, oh, that's not me. I'm a pretty good person, right? I don't know if you know this or not, but everybody thinks they're a pretty good person. Everybody. You can find a serial killer. Actually, we have quotes from some of them. Serial killer, and they will say this. People just don't understand me. On the inside, I am basically a pretty good person. We all think we are. And so it's easy to think There's nothing wrong with me. You know, if I decided it, if I thought it up, it must be a good thing. And I think the thing that we need to realize is that it's not true. We are broken on the inside. We need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give us a brand new heart and a new life. And our parents are in the same situation, you know, that they're broken. And so they have little things that they transfer onto us that we need to break those broken legacies and not let them influence our lives. So how do we do that? How do we get past those things? You know, maybe like there's some things that I probably got from my parents, and there's some things I probably just made up on my own, right? How do we break out of that stuff? Well, of course, the largest, most important step is to give our lives to Christ, you know, to invite Him into our hearts. The Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So when we invite the Lord Jesus into our hearts, when we repent of our sin and invite Him into our hearts, He gives us a new heart. Now, that's not to say that we're going to be perfect from then on out. We still have old habits that we have to break. We still have an old nature that can be tempted. And so we have to work past those things. But the very first step is to give Him our lives. And then there are other steps, like letting His Word influence us. And of course, the other, which is our topic for this morning, is finding and following godly role models in our lives. Godly role models. You know, a lot of people talked about Billy Graham this morning. Great role model. You know, and there are a lot of others that I knew when I was growing up, because I grew up in a church family where there were some strong Christians. And when I moved to Maryland, we met a church up there, and there were some people up there that I still hope to be like some of them in ways that I am not currently. You know, I just want the Lord to keep on growing me. Find godly role models. I just want to read you a little bit about that from the life of Isaac back in chapter 26. Verse 12. Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you're too powerful for us." And Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He gave them the same names which his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over it too, so he named it Sitna. He moved away from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it, so he named it Rehoboth, for he said, "At last the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba. The Lord appeared to him in the night and said, "I'm the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. So here's this man basically following in the footsteps. You could almost take this chapter and put it on top of Abraham's life in some ways. You ever had the feeling, you know, You ever had the feeling that you're becoming more and more like your parents? You know, I feel like that so often, becoming more and more like my dad. And it's just, he was a good influence on my life. He wasn't perfect, but he was a good influence on my life. Loved the Lord. That's the benefit, that's the privilege that Isaac has here. And that's the kind of role model that we need to be looking for and finding in our own lives. Turn back with me, if you would, one last time to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And we see this in the life of Timothy, in his relationship with Paul. I'm going to skip down to verse 10. Not going to read any more of those terrible influences that we saw there. But verse 10 is fascinating. Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me." Paul's saying here to Timothy, "Timothy, you've been right there with me. You followed me in these things." In many cases, Timothy experienced those same things with Paul as he went through them. Continue reading in verse 12. "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." I think Paul's probably making a reference there to himself, to their team, and to Timothy's own mother and grandmother. There's another place where he writes to Timothy about his mother and grandmother and about the incredible godly influence that they were on his life. Paul says, "You remember the people you learned these things from, I want you to continue walking in them." And then he takes it one step further. Well, let's read verse 15. Yeah, verse 15 starts talking about the word. It says, "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Whoa. There's a plan. There's a strategy in mind that God has set before us that will help us break broken legacies, break our own sinful nature, and move forward in our walk with Him. There is a plan in place, and it has to do with the godly influence of others around you and me, that we can choose godly influences. It has to do with the Word of God that God has given us to work in our hearts and change our hearts. Let's read verse 16 again. "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Pretty cool, huh? So do you have people like that in your life? And are you opening God's Word on a regular basis and just letting it change you? I heard a guy on the radio just this week, actually, and he was talking about how sometimes we open God's Word on a regular basis and we let it fill us up here, but we have to make sure that it makes it from up here down to here, you know, so that we're actually living it out. And of course, that is sometimes the rub. We can't just let it stay up here. It's got to come down here. It's got to come out of our hands and our feet and every part of us. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Father, for the life of Abraham and his son Isaac. Lord, we thank you for Paul. He reminds me a lot of Billy Graham. We thank you, Lord, for his sons in the faith, like Timothy and Titus and so many others. And Lord, I just pray that as we meditate on these things, you'll give us insight. Lord, that we'll see that we do have tools available to us in this journey to help us see where we need to change and actually to help us change, to help us grow into your likeness. Lord, thank you for something we didn't even talk about this morning, just that your Holy Spirit lives inside of us to speak to our hearts and to give us, to energize us, to give us that strength to move forward and grow in obedience to you. Lord, how we thank you for these things and for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.